We have just celebrated the Christmas season, the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. The good news to a lost race, the promise of peace on earth and goodwill toward mankind by its Creator. Yet there's an air of doubt and an attitude of pessimism and a lack of unbelief as we are bombarded by bad news from all sides, both domestic and foreign, day after day. Correspondents being beheaded. Dishonesty and corruption in our commercial and banking industries. Politicians more interested in their own re-election than representing the voter. Policemen being shot to death in their patrol car. The torturing of our enemies in unimaginable cruelty. Our veterans being withheld the medical treatment they were promised. Churches more concerned about size than about sin. Amen. Beloved, if you subscribe to a daily newspaper or listen to a radio or watch the news on television, these things are part of the reality of this world that you and I are living in today. We must realize this and accept it as a fact. We should not be surprised. We discover the following words written in a book called the Holy Bible. This book and the words that I read to you just now are considered by many to be outdated and useless today. Amen. The words are found in the 6th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. I read verses 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Those are heavy words. The thoughts and intents of the human being born of the flesh is full of evil thoughts. God was very angry and decided to destroy the world. I read now an article from last Monday's Springfield News and Leader. The headline is Missouri State Professor Explores the Personality of Jesus. What would Jesus do? According to Charles Hedrick, Emeritus Professor of Religious Studies at Missouri University, the image of Jesus might differ from your glowing angelic image if it were based only on sayings that scholars generally agreed originated with Jesus, according to a news release. In Hendrick's new book, The Wisdom of Jesus, Between the Sages of Israel and the Apostles of the Church, the author also questions how Jesus wisdom would compare to the ages of ancient Israel and the apostles of the early Christian church? To answer such questions, historians face serious difficulties. Everything known about Jesus comes from what later writers thought about him, Hedrick says. He argues that none of the statements attributed to Jesus come directly from him. Everything in the early Christian Gospels is either derived from historical memory or is borrowed or invented, said Hedrick in a news release. In short, everything about Jesus in the Gospels is at best hearsay. Even those sayings receiving near universal agreement from historians as saying of Jesus can only be affirmed as historically probable rather than historically accurate, he says. For example, he said the later Gospels written a generation or more after the time of Jesus are seriously flawed as history, meaning they are not reporting what happened in an unbiased way. The aim of Hedrick's study is to allow Jesus to speak for himself directly to modern readers, as nearly as possible as his own words, without theological explanations of the gospel writers or the interpretations of modern scholars and theologians. The resulting image of Jesus that emerges from Hedrick's study is a complex picture of a first century lower class man who was not religious in a traditional sense. His actual words deal more with lower class village life and offer sweeping, unrealistic challenges to the complexity of daily living, said Hedrick in the release. He did not leave behind a code of conduct to be followed and simply omitted any practical guidance as to how his challenging ideas should be incorporated into daily life. This poor professor of religious studies at our university evidently has never met the author of the book. I want you to notice that the author of this book is Charles Hedrick, a professor of religious studies at Missouri State University. We spoke several weeks ago about a church here in our city that calls itself Christian but rejects Christ and his teachings. How many remember? It should be no surprise to us, my friends, if this stuff is being taught to our young university students and preached from our church and published in books, that the earlier list of things I read to you are happening today. We are facing in our nation today and around our world the same thing that the creator of this universe saw all those centuries ago. I repeat them once again. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Mankind, Iraqi and American, North Korean and Russian, Chinese and African, we are faced, beloved, as nations, as individuals, with the choice of the earth or the rock? Why did I use those terms, I wonder? Luke chapter 6. Sixth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. I begin reading at verse 46. And why, Christ says, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that stone and could not shake it. It was founded on a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Ruin of that house was great. You know, beloved, everywhere the Lord Jesus Christ preached and taught, we discover that he made some folks mad, some folks sad, and some folks glad. Amen. Now, are you mad or sad, or are you glad this morning? Do you have a solid foundation upon which you have built this short, short life that you and I live on planet Earth? A hymn written over 300 years ago informs us of our Lord's observations on the foundation he is referring to in this morning's text. Get your hymnals and turn to hymn number 383. How firm a foundation. It's almost as if the writer was referring to the Luke text. Verse 1. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith. Where? In his excellent word. Now, is our Father's, is our faith in our Father's word, now, is our faith in the word of God, or is it in the wages that we earn, or the bank accounts that we have, or the investments that we've made? Is it in the economy or the political environment at the present time? Is it in our social standing? Is it in our popularity or our business success? I wonder. These are interesting questions that we need to ask ourselves, because it determines whether the earth or the rock is the foundation we have built our lives on. Simple questions need to be asked. Our ethnic or our national affiliations, our family tree, our reputations, our political or denominational affiliations have absolutely nothing to do with the foundation Christ is speaking of in our text, or that this great hymn is referring to in its opening verse. It is a word of God, the written, the spoken, and the living word of God that is solid as a rock. Not our affiliation with the things we find in this poor world. Is it the earth or the rock upon which your eternal life depends? That is the question you must answer. The first verse of this hymn continues, what more can he say? What more can he say than to you he has said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. He can't say anything more. Amen. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the rock. Nothing more is the answer. If you are not a Christian, your foundation is in danger of total collapse. And you must repent of your refusal to believe God. You must confess your sin. You must flee to Jesus Christ for your salvation. You must trust Him for your safety, because He and He alone died in your place to pay for your sin. Earth of the rock. Verse 2 of our hymn. Fear not. Does that sound good? Fear not, I am with you. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give you aid. How many times have you messed up in your life? He's still there. If he's your Savior. The Savior of all who trust in him has assured his people that he will never leave them nor forsake them. Yet another old hymn states it this way about the Christian's absolute total trust in Jesus Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Can you sing that today?
Amen.
I pray each one of you can, but if not, do think very, very seriously about it. The earth of the rock. The hymn, second verse, goes on to say, I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. Not by your bank account, not by your folks, not by your church, but by the omnipotent hand of the Creator of the universe. Wow. This is a solemn promise of the Creator of this universe, the unlimited sovereign power of God is yours to strengthen and to help you in a world of unbelief. Trust me, God says, and I'll take care of you. while you were still lost and unbelieving, I gave myself for you. Do not build your life upon this earth and its fleeting treasures. Build it on the rock. Verse 3. When through fiery trials, that's part of it, isn't it?
Yes.
When through fiery trials thy pathway may lie, my grace, all sufficient, shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Nowhere does our Savior ever tell us that a life of following him will be easy. Can't find it anywhere in the book. Jesus never said that. How desperately we need that word. Even fathers will turn against sons. Even daughters will turn against mothers. Amen? Because of me, Jesus said. Nowhere do we find it's going to be easy. He does tell us, however, that following him never ends. Think about that. We're talking about an eternal truth, aren't we? Eternity. You realize if you're safe in Christ, you're going to be around forever?
Amen. That's right.
Oh, these poor, deluded professors. In John's Gospel, we read these words. I know you're familiar with them, but it never hurts to read them over and over and over. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Some of the saddest words in this book. But, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, but of the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We just celebrated his birthday. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There you have it, beloved. There will be fiery trials, but God's grace is all we need. There will be the flames of disappointment and persecution, but we will survive. As we mature as God's children, I'm still growing. I've got a ways to go. But as we mature as God's children, as we live the sanctified lives as disciples of Jesus Christ in a lost and dying world, you see, our God is refining us to become one day like Jesus. Amen. That's what he teaches us in his word. One day we will be like him and we will live with him forever in the place he has prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Finally then, verse 4. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, emphasis, I will not desert to his foe. The earth is peopled with the foes of the Christian. Throughout these scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, we see that the work of Satan and his crowd, the work of false prophets and preachers, the work of those who teach and preach this blasphemy in our colleges and write these books will continue until Jesus comes again. It is good to know that our God will not desert us and that our foes will not, nor can they stop us. Think about it. They can't. You know the worst thing they can do? Is what old Norman Turnbull told me when I was a young preacher. The worst thing they can do, preacher, is kill you. Isn't that true? Go to be with Jesus. Think about it. We have eternal life if we believe in God and believe God's word. That is the very best illustration of what Christ is teaching us in the text this morning. Earth a rock, the solid truth, the basic precept of the Christian life. John 3:16. Bible verse the kids memorize in vacation Bible school. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. That his son did not come to punish, but to save. Punishment down the road. Earth a rock. Then he ends his hymn with these words. That soul, the one that trusts in Christ, the one that believes God's word, that soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I will never forsake. You and I, beloved, have done nothing to deserve this solemn promise from our Creator. With all our weaknesses, all our shortcomings, the Rock of Ages, the sovereign God of creation, the Christ who came to die for us and save us from eternal damnation, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, if we will but believe, we have eternal security and protection. Earth a rock. I hope each person here this morning, as we enter this new year, has built their short life in this world on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator.